This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Professor Russell Berman. He directs the Working Group on the Middle East and the Islamic World at the Hoover Institution. He's a professor at Stanford University. Professor, a very good evening to you. You write most recently at The Hill about the Biden foreign policy and its early days. Following the tragedy in Kabul, following the fog of war descending on Afghanistan, what now can we say Mr. Biden is committed to for his foreign policy, given the scale of his domestic policy ambitions? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Thanks for speaking with me. The Kabul tragedy is the first major litmus test of Biden foreign policy team, and it's probably going to be the singular mark of his foreign policy, certainly as he goes into the 2022 election. Biden and Secretary Blinken came in saying that they were going to be the alternative to the unreliability of Trump foreign policy. They were going to bring professionalism and competence. But I think anybody who watches the statements of the president and the secretary in and around the Kabul events has to be struck by the high degree of incompetence, mutual contradictions, not having the facts straight, promising that we'd be able to get out well when exactly the opposite. There's a little bit of a Baghdad Bob kind of discourse about the exit from Afghanistan. So first point is, no, there's not an increase in professionalism here. If anything, there's a decrease. Now, in addition, the foreign policy platform of the Biden administration had several key points, all of which have been undermined by what's taken place in Afghanistan. Repairing relations with Europe, putting human rights at the center, and countering China. On each of those points, Afghanistan's been a loss.
Human rights. That's a puzzle, because human rights is depends on the eye of the beholder. I understand it. But the human rights emphasis and the Taliban seem sharply in disagreement, especially we hear again and again, not from partisans, but from observers, that the abuse of women in Afghanistan is horrific. And there's no reason to believe the Taliban has changed with regard to women. And we hear stories about women being forced into slavery immediately. They're just anecdotes we don't have. Does this connect with the campaign trail, or is this the matter that there's planning and then there's meeting the enemy?
Historically, the Taliban were terrible on women, and the news reports now, not just anecdotes, indicate that they're living up to their reputation. Execution of a female police officer in front of her family just a couple of days ago, putting down a demonstration of women in Kabul. They formed a government now which is not inclusive, certainly not in any gender sense or any other sense. One would have thought that if this was the administration that was going to put human rights at the center, as Secretary Blinken has said a number of times, it would have made accommodations for human rights activists, including women's rights activists, to get out of there before the Taliban came in. But we've seen how that was all overlooked. This is a case of campaign claims being made about human rights as a way to beat up on the Trump administration, when in fact it was the Trump administration that brought the human rights discourse back into the center of the discussion with its focus on the Uyghurs in China. We all may remember that actually the Obama administration tried to play down human rights as a feature of foreign policy. Trump brought it back. Biden and Blinken wanted to claim it, but they failed.
Foreign policy, if I understand the Biden administration, also includes climate change. The struggle here, though, is to understand what climate change, what is to be done. Most recently, the news reports of John Kerry, the climate envoy from the Obama and Biden administration, met with virtually his interlocutors in China and went away disappointed. Is that a foreign policy that we have to discover, the climate foreign policy? Because China right now is quoted in London as saying, we're not going to comply with your wish list. We're going to create energy for our people, and we'll also cooperate with climate, but not trading off our growth.
I believe the Chinese position that they have said to Kerry that they will not cooperate unless the United States makes other sets of concessions to the Chinese. What one could say, trying to understand Biden and Blinken, is that they really believe that climate is the real foreign policy issue, and therefore everything else becomes subordinate. The great power competition, human rights, rebuilding transatlantic relations, all of that becomes secondary, perhaps, to the climate agenda. I don't know this to be true. I'm looking for some kind of logic in the mess that's coming out of Washington. That might be one. But I do know what Biden said in the course of the campaign, critical of Trump foreign policy, and how he has not been able to fix any of the things that he wanted to.
I want to go to Europe because Europe, our strongest ally, our best trading partner, has evidenced over these last weeks surprise, shock, disappointment, discouragement, despair over how Mr. Biden and Mr. Blinken and Mr. Sullivan handled these last weeks, especially in the parliament where there was a debate immediately after it became clear that we were leaving prematurely given our promises. The parliament is disappointed to the point of looking for new relationships in the world. I'm trying to find a positive here, Russell. The language in Parliament, I'm thinking of Tom Tugendhat, a conservative backbencher who's prominently mentioned often in the media, has a column. He's an Afghanistan veteran. I'm thinking of how they're identifying a future without that, the Atlantic alliance between London and Washington. Is that something the Biden administration can repair in your measure?
That was what the Biden administration claimed it would repair. It claimed that the Trump administration had damaged transatlantic relations, and indeed the Trump administration did put some pressure on it when it demanded that the NATO members live up to their Wales Pledge and pay the 2% GDP to support defense matters. This irritated some Europeans. Other Europeans complied, so there was a success there as well. But there was a sense that relations with key European capitals, Berlin and Paris in particular, had frayed under Trump, and Biden would fix that. Now, the peremptory way that the United States made the decision to withdraw has irritated many politicians across the political spectrums, of course, on the left, but certainly on the right as well, like Tugendhat in Parliament. So the European relations have not been repaired. Actually, I don't think there's anything the Trump administration did that played the kind of high-handedness toward European allies that has just come out of Washington. The Europeans are deeply, deeply disappointed. What's going to happen? It's not great for the United States. One result could be that there's fresh wind in the sail of the Macron agenda to rethink NATO. NATO as an appendage to U.S. foreign policy may be becoming a thing of the past thanks to President Biden.
Final minute. Nord Stream 2, the new German election. Right now, it's a guess, but I would say there's a lean towards Moscow. Does Mr. Biden see that? We have a minute.
There's certainly going to be a tilt toward the left in the next coalition. Exactly who the coalition will be is not clear right now. It looks like the Social Democrats may have the chancellery. Who they'll be in there together was unclear. But there will be a tilt toward away from traditional Atlanticist policies, to some extent, a tilt toward Moscow. Yes.
Russell Berman for the Hoover Institution, writing at The Hill. We're writing about the early days of the Biden foreign policy. A failure doesn't make a foreign policy, so we wait to watch. However, the Afghanistan story is not finished, and the abuse of women right now is stark. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.